We're into hour number three on the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. Victor's going to be joining us coming up when some stations join us in about 5 minutes. Huge guest. Very hard to get. We're very honored to have him. But let's finish up with Jordan in Florida and with Amanda in South Carolina, and then that'll be it for calls. Jordan in Florida, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. We are living in the Great Awakening, as you said, man. If you noticed yesterday, Elon Musk posted that poll on Twitter asking people who they're going to vote for, Trump or Kamala, and I checked about an hour ago, and it's about 74% Trump, 26% Kamala. So I think people are really waking up, man. They're seeing the lies at the DNC being spoke, the blasphemy, mocking.
By the way, I didn't see that poll, but I saw it in the news. How did the poll close out? How many voted?
So I believe 5 hours are left as it stands right now, Alex, but it's Trump 74% and 26% Kamala.
Yeah, we found it. So it's 5,272,693 votes. Trump gets 73.6, and Kamala, the laughing hyena, gets 26.4.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show, man, people are waking up.
Well, brother, I wanted you to be able to finish up, but your phone cut out. Thanks. Great point, though. I'm glad you got in. Amanda in South Carolina, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hi, hon.
Hey.
I wanted to suggest that Trump strongly consider RFK for FDA. And what do you think about that?
Little Bird told me that they've actually been secretly talking. That's how I know that RFK is going to drop out in the next few days and endorse Trump. But he's being considered for FDA. He's being considered for Attorney General. He's being considered for EPA, NIH, you name it.
All right, and I'm mostly excited that, don't worry about not being able to watch that DNC. I ain't able to either. It just makes me sick to my stomach because they're acting like they're not scared and they're panicked, and I love it that they're scrambling.
They certainly are scrambling. What do you think of them blaming Trump for the bad economy when he hadn't even been in power for 4 years?
Well, that's just the way the devil does. He lies about things.
What's your prediction for the election?
I think they're going to try to put us into World War III.
Well, they've already got a good start on it with Ukraine, with NATO backing now invading Russia 14 days ago. Totally insane. You also, honey, wanted to mention RFK Jr. dropping out. What's your take on that?
I think that it's a good idea that he drop out. And that's just going to help Trump a lot.
I certainly think it will. What are folks saying in South Carolina? Are you seeing more support from Trump than you saw 4 years ago?
It's about the same. Everybody has always supported him and been very loud about it.
Well, that's what I'm seeing. They're going to have big trouble stealing this election. Anything else, Amanda?
I just wanted to please don't forget about that song, Big John. I love that. That's awesome. Don't forget about doing that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Amanda. And we're going to go to break here in about a minute. And we are going to come back with a very special guest to talk about all these huge issues. The attempted assassination of Trump. He's a military man and expert. He can give us his take on that, the Russian perspective. He can talk about the invasion of Kursk 14 days ago by NATO. And he can also speak to the danger of nuclear war. And also Putin's big announcement and decree of amnesty for people that want to escape the satanic pedophile left in the West. That's a serious thing. In Europe and here as well, they're taking people's children, Christian children, literally handing it over to pedophiles. That's why Putin, 15 years ago or so, banned Russian children being adopted to the West. We're going to go to break. Stay with us. Victor Boot in 60 seconds.
All we do is deliver victory! You want war? You got it!
How's it going? Don Harrison. Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Well, there's Victor Boot. After 10 years in a federal prison as a political prisoner, he's basically the Eric Prince of the Russians, famous soldier and businessman and confidant to a lot of the top people in the government. And he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's been very gracious to join us. He came on for over an hour a few months ago, and we've got about 50 minutes with him today. And we could not have a better guest on, except maybe Putin, to give us the real take of the Russian mind and where the world is today. And so I want to cover the Kursk invasion, but that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. I believe he has an expert, a friend of his, he wants to come on who's in Kursk. There in Western Russia on the border with Ukraine that's been invaded. We'll cover that at the bottom of the hour, coming up here in about 25 minutes. I want to talk about the situation where Putin has signed a decree for shelter and for refugees from the insane persecution that the left is carrying out against Christians and other people's traditional values. Russia to build migrant village for conservative American expats. I mean, this is getting really, really serious. And also want to get his take on the attempted assassination of Trump 40-plus days ago and Russians watching what's happening in America. I know he and others have predicted a civil war in this country. Now, the left is saying they want to trigger a civil war. Jamie Raskin and other top commissars of the globalist. And those are just some of the topics I want to cover with him. So Victor, thank you for joining us. Let's first, and then anything you want to say, just jump in and say it, because these are just my questions. You're going to have the floor here. But I'd like to start with just what you've witnessed, because you were in America for 10 years in a jail cell. For folks that don't know, you were able to hear me on some local stations for those years. That's how you got to know me. And then, just to fill in folks that didn't see the last interview, and so you have an American perspective and also a Russian perspective that gives you a really very important overall view. Give us the Russian view of what you see happening in America. Trump being grazed by the bullet, by the grace of God, the other bullets missing, killing one man and wounding two others. Do you think the deep state will try again? What is your military, business, Russian-American understanding? Because I'd say you're pretty much American, 10 years in American prison. View on the world, and what do you think Putin's view is?
Well, it was hi, Alex. First of all, greetings with a love from Russia, who is now in the front line fighting for future of all humanity. And what's going on, it's really, maybe we are blessed to see how finally we're coming to this final stages of this global fight, of the geopolitical shifting, which last time happened maybe 100 years ago. And this is very important to put our focus and not to be distracted of really goes on. First of all, as you said, assassination attempt of the Trump. You know, last year in May, when I tried to send him a telegram warning him that, you know, his life in danger, because it was obvious. The deep state will never let Trump, protect interest of American people. Because what he's talking about, hey, Let's get away with this satanic cabal. Let's go back and restore America. Let's go back and just clean up the house. Let's put finally the border protection. Let's kick out all the illegal immigrants. And let's, first of all, focus on all issues America has to take care before they're going to spend taxpayers' money on unnecessary wars everywhere else. Look how much American people have a problem with the budget. It's what now? $36 trillion in debt?
I think it's up over a trillion now. I think it's 37, approaching 38.
38. I mean, it's easy to lose the count because every day is like what? Every hour, like 4 billion and so on. So it's a huge. And what is the end game? End game, it's not only to destroy the world, but also destroy the America, destroy you people, first of all. This is an issue in hand. And what's going on now with this assassination attempt with Trump? This is a clear sign. Look, they missed again by grace of God. And look how the Secret Service dropped the ball. And this was like an unbelievable thing for a professional organization like a Secret Service. I would never buy this, that they would let this shooter climb on this wall. And they knew about this. They've got like, what, 100 warnings. And they did absolutely nothing. So eventually somebody was giving them order to stand down. This is an issue why. And this is a very simple answer. Because the deep state knows that if Trump runs, he wins. Yes, Democrat Party tried to switch the horses in the last moment. Kamala Harris, we know who he is and what kind of the leader he's going to be. But for our perspective, they're just trying to replace one stooge with another stooge. And this is why, for deep state, it's easy. Then they're going to blame any you know, this to say, hey, this is the president. What we have to do with this? Okay, dump him, and then we're going to bring another one who will take all the blame. But with seriously, as a planet, as all humanity in danger, and we need to do something about this satanic cult, who is now trying to instigate several wars in the Middle East. Now they try to do this incursion and invade Russian region of Kursk, where majority of these invading forces have been, first of all, a mercenaries, including the American private military company, including many German, Polish, Romanian soldiers, and the best equipment they supplied to them. But look what's going on about Israel, Palestine, and the Iran. And look, they are still preparing for this huge conflict with China. I don't know how they're going to manage this all, but I guess we need to now unite our efforts, first of all, to impede, to stop the global elite from doing more damage, or, and most important, to prevent a global nuclear conflict.
Now, for those that don't know, and we'll segue into this more as we go, why don't you, with your amazing military and business background, for Americans that don't understand this, most of them do, give us a snapshot of what's happened in the last 12 years, the destabilization program by NATO, them lying about wanting to get Ukraine to join NATO. Now they admit they want to bring it into NATO. And then now what's really happened in the last 2.5 years in the special military operation and this desperate gambit to send this NATO-backed force with mercenaries into Russia in the Kursk area, and really what's happening there from your sources right now. And then, as you've elaborated, I know, the danger of nuclear war that could clearly, obviously, come out of this?
Well, as you're right, look, starting from this coup which happened in 2014 in Ukraine, Russia was warning, hey, you know, guys, take it easy. We will not let Ukraine join to NATO. And this is why. Because if NATO would deploy their interceptors in the Kharkov region, then they can, you know, get majority of our ICBM in case of. And this was a really security threat. Think of this. If Russia would deploy, you know, ICBM interceptors, I'm not talking even about Cuba, let's say on the Mexico. Let's say if, for instance, as we discussed last time, Texas gets independent and then decided to join alliance with Russia and with China. What, guys, you going to do? It's obvious and clear. But despite of this, in 2015, when the Ukrainians decided to go against their own population in Donbass, yes, it was a Russian-speaking region, who said, hey, guys, you know, we want to keep right to use of our own language, which is the Russia, and keep traditional ties with the Russia. But instead of discussing it peacefully and have a settlement, because the guys didn't ask, you know, special privileges or complete independence, they asked for normal right to live and to speak their native language. And this was a 90% majority in that population, in that area. Despite of this, they decided, let's go with the armed forces and, you know, just kill these people who are so-called separatists. So what the people in Donbass did, they grabbed the arms, because this is was a miners region. And, you know, miners are very tough people. So they resisted and they beat them up. So then the Russia and Mr. Putin intervened, and they made a Minsk agreement in 2015, where they supposed make a changes in Ukrainian constitution, bring this autonomy to this region, and have a peaceful relation. But guess what? The West used this time between 2015 till 2022 just to amass more arms to Ukraine, train the army, and build the fortification line, which is unheard of from World War II. And if you will see what the kind of fortification line they built, how much your taxpayers' money they put in concrete just to reinforce them and to say they will never lose these lines, and they've been planning attacks. So Russia has no other choice then to start this special military operation in February 2022 to stop that killing of the population of Donbass. And they are our family.
Absolutely, Mr. Boot. And to just interrupt, because of the time, you're making excellent points here, and it's all true. Moving forward now, since the last 2.5 years, what is the real state of Ukraine? What is the real state of the Russian military? And what does this 14-day invasion, the first time Russia's been invaded in its homeland or motherland since Operation Barbarossa by Hitler in 1942, what does that signify? And then what do you think the Ukrainians and NATO are trying to elicit from the Russians versus what the Russians are doing?
Look, what their plan was is to make surprise attack on the area where there was no any military activities. Their main target was to capture a nuclear station in the in the city Kurchatov, and then make a blackmail and try to then do the territory exchange or threaten to blow up nuclear reactor on the Kursk or do something else. And this plan was long in the making, especially with the British Secret Service. They amassed significant amount, around 20,000 elite forces have been very well, you know, equipped, especially with the all recent supplies from America, from Canada, from US, with a Leopard tank, with a all kind of the, you know, APCs and all the equipment.
And those so Polish battle tanks are really good too, right?
Yeah, they've got all these, you know, protected armored vehicles. They've got all the equipment for the soldiers, and they just focused on the very, you know, narrow direction where they decided, okay, this was an old cross point. And for the reason, because of agreement, when the Russia withdrew its forces from the Kyiv area and from Sumy area, when they've been negotiating in April of the 2022 a peace agreement in Istanbul, which was screwed up by the Johnson of Britain, you know, Boris Johnson of Britain, they removed these forces. And they said, okay, there is a front line from Donbas area up to the Kherson area. But in this area, we withdrew this time. And the Ukrainians keep that, you know. They did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look, now the front line is over. You know, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgorod region, which is near the Kharkov. But was no incident there because, look,
Now the front line is over. No, they did sometimes some shelling of the Belgrade region, which is near the Kharkov, but was no incident there because look, now the front line is over. Now the front line is over.
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, Victor Boot and myself, and I think most of our audience, have the same aims: not to have nuclear war, to have prosperity, to have friendship, to have economic exchange, and to work together. Russia is not expansionist. The people running the U.S. are, and they're attacking us. They're attacking the Russians. They are staging, obviously, with the funding and the stand down October 7th. And they've got more black swans planned and more crises. I want to ask Victor Boot before he leaves what he thinks the deep state might do now because they failed to kill Trump. Also, we'll get into the incredible decree from 3 days ago of Putin. My response to that got like 20 million views. I also want to correct something. He said the debt clock was at $36 trillion. He was right. But I was reading a congressional report a few weeks ago saying it's really 38. They're just fudging the numbers. And there's articles out about that. So technically he's right. I wasn't trying to one-up him saying it was $2 trillion worse. It's just that the number you even see is watered down and very, very serious soon. Basically all the tax money will be going to that. So we're being positioned for economic downfall. The Russians are not doing that. If the Russians were putting troops on our border and overthrew Mexico and organized it against us, I'd say go into Mexico and take them out. Well, Russia's not doing that. But now because we put missiles on their border, they put submarines off Miami. So that's the globalists that are starting this, ladies and gentlemen. And so it's very, very serious. But for about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to Stas Chapsky, and he runs one of the most popular news sites on Telegram and a lot of other places, in Telegraph, and it's redovka.news. That's READOVKA.news. We'll put it on screen. I apologize for butchering the Russian names. I can barely speak English sometimes. I want Victor Boot to finish any points he was finishing when we hit the break. I interrupted him. And then I want him to introduce Stas Chapsky for us. Victor, please introduce him.
Well, Stas happened to be, journalist. And, he's my friend. And he now in Kursk and been there for the past 10 days. So he has a first-hand knowledge what's really happened. And he interviewed those people who succeeded to escape when the Ukrainians entered and start capturing civilians as the hostages and transporting them to Ukraine for future exchanges. Can you believe this? And they knew that this is a innocent civilians. Like, you can't meet the children with their grandmas, with their grandpas, with their dads and moms trying to escape, just fighting, sitting in their car with almost nothing. And they stop this car, and those who try to go, they just shoot them and kill them. This is unbelievable. And the Western media keeping completely silent, just praising the brave Ukrainian soldiers who succeeded to go through the Russian defense. There was no defense. There was just a frontier guard with a very light arms there. And they've been still, resisting and put the fight. So they made everything possible, including the ultimate sacrifice, to make sure that Ukrainians don't succeed to break through and go to the nuclear power station of the Kursk region. This is number one. Second, they failed with their attempt to thinking that the Russia going to remove their troops from Donbas area and bring them into Kursk. What happened? If before, every day Russia would capture a village or one small town a day before the Kursk invasion, guess what? After Kursk invasion, now, for the past 10 days, Russia capturing minimum 3 small towns every day. And the Ukrainian forces on Donbas region in the process of melting down. They just abandoning position and just going up. And the Western media, again, focus, look only there. Don't look there. We're going to tell you this is the shining object. So they trying everything to distract attention. And this is a agony of this regime. And I guess the best, let's start tell, because he's been talking to these people, he's been going to the front lines, he tells what really happened.
Stas, all right, please. Sir, please, Stas, please tell us what you're witnessing.
Okay, thank you. So we should start with the fact that the situation is tense. And we see that every day, every morning, or somewhere else, Ukrainian troops are attacking civilian population. We need to understand that majority of civilians have already left their places. But some of them who is here now every day can be attacked by Ukrainian soldiers just because they are Russian. When I was driving along the roads leading to the district Suja, I saw a lot of burnout cars which were attacked by Ukrainian soldiers. They bombing civilian cars with the usual people who can't be dangerous for them. So most of people who survived of these attacks said that it is a nightmare for them because the Ukrainian soldiers shoot it in the back. And for them, it is an unbelievable story.
Now, we're going to put a map up for folks that don't understand this, but this is the very same ground that the Nazis poured in through in 1942 in Barbarossa. And clearly what Mr. Boots said, is they even admit it's true, the West even admits it's true, that the whole front line's collapsing. Putin doesn't want all of Ukraine, but he's almost got what he wants. There's, well, I guess, one more big city that's a crossroads control that he's almost gotten, and then, you know, secure that zone and then try to get a peace deal and have Ukraine not join NATO. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is such a cold-blooded move to just attack an unguarded area as a pure distraction. Victor was saying that this has backfired and unified the Russian people. I'm no rocket scientist, but if a foreign army drove hundreds of miles into the United States and started blowing up civilians, all Americans would turn against them. So I don't understand the thinking of NATO and what they thought this would do. What have you seen with the Russian resolve after the 14-day NATO invasion?
Well, as Alex, we've been, again, reiterating, as you said, the volunteers who are signing up for military service, like, jumped five times. So the people said, what? Are you serious? You killing? You looting? You stealing whatever you go in possession of the people's homes because you kick them out of the homes? You raping the young woman there? There is a documented case. Several women being raped by the Ukrainian soldiers, and they killed the victims afterwards just to prevent. Most interesting stuff that the Russia captured a lot of the Ukrainian soldiers and the foreign mercenaries there, and they have their ProGo cameras on them. So we don't need even to question them. When they just reveal what they feel, it's enough for the war crime tribunal. Oh, and these people, believe me, has no any human, sense left. Because, yeah, if you are a soldier of the regular troop, you shouldn't behave like, ISIS. And that's exactly what I would say, the acting like the ISIS. Why? Because they have the same planning centers, same officers who've been helping, supplying ISIS, and they've been preparing, organizing the operation of this excursion in the Kursk region. This is very simple.
Exactly. Going back to Stas, who's got the big reporting group, you're on the ground. Are you seeing what Victor's witnessing, or report on that for us, and then any other key points you'd like to make?
So personally, I think that's the situation that Victor described is the same that I saw, because last week I have seen a 20-year-old girl who was raped by Ukrainian soldiers. It is a disgusting case. I don't know how to say, how to explain my feelings. Moreover, we see robbery, a lot of cases of robbery, our shops of technical devices, sports equipment, and so on. The quantity of cases is uncountable for me now, because this invasion to our borders, to our districts, to our region, unbelievable for everyone. So,
from what I've known all along, I mean, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s son was over there fighting in Ukraine 2 years ago. There are a lot of mercenaries and foreign troops that have been organized, obviously. I mean, I don't believe for a minute that NATO didn't direct this. They tried to deny it like they've done Nord Stream pipeline. Can you speak, Stas, to the makeup of these forces? And then can Victor Boot speak to it?
I think that this pipeline now is the most, Victor, could you help me, please, to explain? It is, I don't know how to say.
Are you saying it's a mixture of troops, or are there foreign troops mixed in? Are they just Ukrainian?
It is Ukrainian troops, but also people saw soldiers from Georgia and Poland.
Poland, that's what I've been...
Plus,
go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, plus there is was American private military company who is posting their own pictures in the Kursk region because they went there to control and to help Ukrainian secure occupied region. So this is a huge deal because they try to achieve this propaganda victory, trying to show and trying to bring those, you know, opponents of the Russian and traitors of the Russian, trying to organize their so-called, you know, free democratic region of Russia and bringing all these scumbags who are stolen money, run out to Ukraine or to the West, and now trying to be, you know, opposition to Putin because they're going to have a good financing from the West. But guess what? This is a fake. This is going to fail. And believe me, within a certain period of time, Russian armed forces will encircle those who've been doing this, and it will not end there. Most important fact that this make Ukraine completely unable to do any negotiations with Russia. And this is the official position now of the Russia as a statement of the spokesman of the Kremlin, of our foreign minister, that there is no ground anymore to have any peace negotiation with the present regime in Kiev. So Russia now determined, and we're going to finish this conflict with the full victory of Russia liberating our ancient Russian land, which is now called Ukraine, from this scum of the Nazis to make a secure and peaceful existence in Europe, like did our grandfathers 80 years ago.
All right, Victor, I want to shift gears into the bigger issue and finish up with Putin's big decree. Stas, thank you so much for the time. Anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. People can find him at readovka.news. We'll put that back on screen. All right, in the limited time, Victor, you're also busy, basically a governor in a major region. You're a busy man. You're very kind to come on with us. Obviously, the defense ministry has said this ups the ante with nuclear weapons. We know the West is moving missiles that carry nukes up to the border. There's more and more talk on the threat escalation by not just Russians, but Western analysts that this is a insane escalation. That's why NATO is trying to deny they're part of it. Just like Nord Stream, Germany's getting upset now, cutting off military aid to Ukraine. I see that as a very good sign. But in the whole area of nuclear weapons, what's your expert view on where we are now on the threat escalation ladder?
Look, these satanic forces who are controlling the West trying all to provoke Russia to use tactical nukes on Ukraine because they're thinking if they were going to provoke and send this excursion, maybe Russia decide and start reacting, you know, bombing the Ukraine. Maybe if Ukrainians are finished, they're going to throw in, you know, Baltic states, small army, teeny ones, and then maybe Polish army, then maybe Romanian army. They don't care. And then will come forces, they're going to send Germans again. And the problem is, think of this. What kind of the leaders of those countries, like Baltic states or Romania or Ukraine, who are ready to commit suicide of their nation, who don't care about national interest because they're serving to the same satanic cult, which means they are part of it. And this is explained why we see this, you know, like these three small Baltic states who together, like hardly 3 million people all together, trying to make a threat to Russia. Are you serious? And Ukraine in their desperate move, trying to make, like today, they tried to send like 10 drones to attack Moscow. Every day they're trying to do everything possible with the help of American forces who are sending their you know, about the plane for aiming for the Crimea Bridge, attacking the beaches in the Crimea, because now it's the tourist season.
And let's not forget the attack on the Moscow theater, which was clearly Western-sponsored.
Well, now it's all obvious. And it's obvious like a conflict in the Caucasus in the 90s was sponsored by the CIA. They've been guiding these Chechen terrorists who've been taking hostages and killing the hostages in the theater in Moscow. At the same time, soon we're going to celebrate also anniversary of the killing the school children, because they captured the school on the first day of opening the school, 1st of September, and trying to use them as the hostages. This is mind-blowing how these elites are so devil that they don't, you know, for them, there is no limit.
Absolutely. So talking about solutions, how do we end this war?
Well, look, the Russia will end this war. That's why we started this operation in Ukraine. This is no problem. The problem is now for the past 3 years, Ukraine exhausted their own military staff, reserve, and armament within like, you know, 3-4 months of this conflict. All the rest is churning up all reserves that the ex-Warsaw Pact country has, the Soviet standard military equipment. Now they run out of this. Then we know that the West are sending them tanks. They started with the Leopards, Challengers, then Abrams start coming. And guess what? They've been all burning up like, you know, like anything else burning up during the war. So it doesn't help. Then they've been hoping for some wonder weapon like F-16. And guess what? They've got the F-16, but they're scared to send them near to the border because the Russian air defense will shoot them down. This is the problem. So it's obvious there is no any way Ukrainian can win this conflict, number one. Second, to hold the position. And after what they did in the Kursk region, there is no even any ground left for negotiations with them to have a peaceful settlement unless they surrender. And this is what they achieved with the last their you know, excursion. And believe me, in Russia now, all people said, there's no way we have to do any peaceful negotiations, only surrender. And this is position.
All right, and NATO's digging in for a 20-year war, but the West isn't going to put up with that now that Russia has been confirmed to have not been behind the Nord Stream destruction. Let's do 5 minutes the next hour. I know you're busy, and I've got to go to a meeting, but I want to talk about Trump, the Tippit assassination, your advice to Trump when we come back. But the 5 minutes we have till break, the big decree Monday by Vladimir Putin saying that Russia, with all its giant land, biggest country in the world, and all its resources, now bypassing, you know, regular rules, fast-tracking people that are being persecuted by the globalists, by the pedophiles, by the Satanists, by the neoliberals. Can you speak to this and what this signifies?
Well, first of all, the main focus was for the last 3 years, especially. There is a lot of the people from the Germany, from the France, from the Italy, from the Holland, from the England, and in the fact of matter, from United States, Canada, who are trying to move to Russia. But because of the bureaucratic problems, they're facing a lot of you know, difficulties to get their status in Russia. So this decree really removing all these hurdles on them to get the refugee status, to get the temporary residence initially for 3 months, which enable him to settle, to do the proper, you know, adjustment way they want to do what they want to do. And we, as the biggest country in the world, are interested to get people who share our Russian spiritual and traditional values, which is a 99% exactly the same, which is anybody normal traditional family in America, in Canada, in France are sharing too. Maybe we're speaking on different languages, but believe me, we believe all in God. We believe that our kids should be growing, knowing only one dad and one man, and they know exactly if they are boys, they're boys. If they're, you know, girls, they're girls. And nobody has the right to confuse them. This is the main issue.
And let me just add something to this, because I follow, you know, Europe and Russia. It's all very fascinating and important. It wasn't Russia or Putin that started this, if I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know more than I do, Victor Boot. Starting about 15 years ago, I began to see the articles where Germans having their children taken because they were Christian and didn't want transgenderism or Islam taught to them. They were running to Russia, and Russia was taking them, and they've been very successful. So it really started with Germans and Austrians and others fleeing, and so that got Russia thinking, and then foreigners kept calling for refuge, and that this was not generated by Russia. This was generated by outside need and nowhere to flee. Is that correct?
That's correct, because Russia now is the only one European country who is still, you know, recognize a normal family. He will still give a freedom to kids to grow normal kids without being exposed to this confusing, propaganda of LGBTQ and what else is now added. AAP, and every year it grows like an additional, you know, 3-4 letters of different weirdo, you know, practices. So this is a good sign to all humanity. You have a refuge land. You have the land where you can regroup, organize, and start your fight to liberating your own, you know, countries. Russia is there to protect entire humanity. And this is where we stand for. And this fight in Ukraine, this is the fight for the future of the civilization, for the future of the normal people who believing in God and believing in the normal family.
Victor, you mentioned that you had warned that they're going to try to kill Trump on the last interview. I'd forgotten that. They found the clip. They're pulling it out right now. We're going to come back, and we're going to play that clip and then give you a few minutes with any other warnings to Trump. You're a really, obviously, smart guy. But let's start getting into that now. Big picture, it's obvious trajectory. Try to put him in prison, remove him. The next thing is try to kill him. They failed again. Now he's had a plane emergency. So is his vice president pick. Clearly, they're going to try to kill Trump. What do you think he should do?
Well, he must, be extremely cautious. You know, first of all, mobilize everybody who understand what's going on. Okay, make sure that this election be not stolen again, because the Democratic Party gonna pull again the tricks, and they're gonna try to blame Russia. That Russia. In fact, Russia has no business to interfere into the American election. Problem is that the Soros Foundation gonna buy out the result they want to do. It's like in the last election. Who gonna believe that the Joe Biden, who spent all campaigning in the basement of his home in, you know, Delaware, gonna get 10 billion more votes than the Obama? It's unbelievable. So how you explain all these, you know, problems with this vote by mail? So this is now the time where American people gonna say enough is enough. We're not let the deep state steal the result of election.
That's right. Stay there.
This is very important.
Very important. We've got a 2-minute break, final segment. Really appreciate you joining us. Very thought-provoking and informative. We're going to come back with your prediction a few months ago and then get more of your analysis. Final segment with Victor Boot. Stay with me.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Everybody should go to InfoWars.com right now. InfoWarsPhone.com. They have all the solar panels, all the charging stations, all the best sat phones, all the best sat radios, all the best equipment at the best prices, and they support the broadcast. InfoWarsPhone.com. I think it's a default move to do this. It's an absolute essential. And it is so important to get ready. And I'm telling myself that
if there's an EMP attack, your cell phone's just nothing but a brick. right? And I know that even in the law enforcement part of it, that when people are, run their phone, they can turn their phone off, and for 72 hours, somebody in our group can ping that phone and track that phone for 72 hours. So you're not off the grid. So make sure you get your Faraday sleeve. Have a sat phone as a backup. If you're concerned about secure messaging, the Black Phone secure end-to-end encryption.
Everybody should go to InfoWarsPhone.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.